All right, let me tell you that this service is going to be unlike any service we've ever had here at Liberty Baptist Church. There's going to be a lot of multimedia stuff that's going to be up on the board. Dave Bailey is a man who's going to come and preach to us this morning. He may sing to us, I don't know. That might be interesting. So anyway, he's going to come and bring us the message this morning. He has visions of things, and he has visions for Liberty Baptist Church. You all may not know him, but we have a new website that has been designed and being put up. I've looked at it very little because I have total confidence in his ability to design. He's paying for our website. Y'all may not know that about him. He believes in this church. He grew up in this church. He graduated from the academy that this church sponsors. And now then, here he has come back all these years to be able to share Jesus with us again today. And we're very thankful that you're back with us, Dave, for that.
I have a confession to make. Grace is more racy than homosexuality, more full of life than teenage pregnancy, more captivating than pornography. Grace is far more potent than anything that can make us guilty, but we treat grace like a child when we hide our sin and question its ability. I have a confession to make. The true measure of a Christian is not how well their sin is hidden, or how many church services they've attended is, or how low the number of transgressions they've committed is. The true measure of a Christian is hidden in Christ, whom they have been given. I have a confession to make. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that goes for the gossip as well as the alcoholic, the greedy as well as those in adultery, the apathetic as well as the addict, the judgmental, as well as the homosexual. We're all looking for something we can throw at anyone whose sin looks worse than our own, but we're all sinners. We've all been exposed, so none of us are left with even a single stone. I have a confession to make. Anyone who calls themselves a Christian makes the ultimate confession. For Christ did not come for the healthy, but those in need of medication. The prostitutes, murderers, those in rehabilitation. So if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be in need of powerful salvation. I have a confession to make. We are all trapped in shame until we give sin a name. For we all play this game where we try to look the same by modifying and hiding our behavior so no one can see our sin and make us a stranger. But what we don't realize is that we are in danger. For if we act like we have no sin, we live like we need no Savior. I have a confession to make. My eyes, lips, and mind are stained and unclean by words, images, and drinks that would have condemned me. But I'm not saved because I'm perfect or have my sin under control. I'm saved because I need saving, and that is the gospel. I have a confession to make. You no longer have to hide, for God has seen everything that you are and still came for you and died. It doesn't matter if everyone else rejects you, you're still his spotless bride. So come, make your confession and rob sin of its power. For what strength does it have if shame's been devoured? Come, make your confession and make room for the healing, both for yourself and for others, whom with your very sin they too have been dealing. Come, make your confession and rid the church of its judges. For if everyone's confessing, there's no room to make judgments. I have a confession to make. God is not condemning his own, and we should not be trying to play his role. So let us start to pick up our crosses instead of our stones. Hurl rocks of gospel at each other instead of blows. Open our mouths to confess and forgive instead of keeping them closed. And overlook the speck in another's eye to attend to the plank in our own. I have a confession to make, and church, it's time you made yours too. For Christ did not die so that we may hide, but to love us in spite of the wrong that we do. So come, speak your sin on the altar of confession. It doesn't matter if the world says you're condemned, for all God will speak is salvation.
Thank you. So as you can see, today's already started off a little differently. And the idea is not to condemn, not for me to judge. And I'm not talking about Liberty Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church in a broader sense.
Amen.
Us as Christians.
Amen.
And how we can do a better job of reaching those that are unchurched, that are tossed aside by society, that we may see as different. The tattooed guy at Walmart, the homosexual that lives next door. We have a couple of marching orders from Jesus, and one is to believe and accept our own salvation, but the other is to spread the good news.
Yeah.
He doesn't say spread the good news only to those who fit a certain criteria or that fit a certain dress pattern. He says to spread the good news throughout all the land. So we're going to talk a little bit about today. I hope that we learn a little, that each of us is convicted, and that each of us leaves here thinking of new ways that we can reach out to people that we haven't thought about reaching out to in the past. I am just as guilty as everybody else in this room. I am not a preacher. You know, there are people that are great Bible scholars that can teach the text of the Bible. There are preachers who are great at taking the Bible philosophy and applying it to your everyday life, and there are those that are in between. And so I'm here today not as a preacher. It's not my full-time job. I'm here as a teacher, a speaker, a friend, a fellow sinner, a fellow Christian, and hope that what I bring is inspired by God and that it will help us all. I will steal something Brother Phil said in one of the many sermons I've listened to recently through editing and getting them up on the website, is that if this is a good service, we can thank Christ. If it's not a good service, you can blame me. So that's where we're at. One of the things that many of you may know Jimmy Valvano. Do you know Jimmy V? He was the basketball coach for Rutgers University. And back in the early 90s, he was dying of cancer. He had cancer all over his body, and he was speaking at the ESPN Awards. And he had mentioned that he had learned late in life that there were some important parts of living a fulfilled life. And one of them was to do three things every day. And that is to laugh, to think, and to have your emotions bring you to tears.
Wow.
And if you do those three things every day, you've got a full day. And so that I hope in what we're talking about today, it will help. Maybe we'll have some laughter. I definitely hope that we're thinking. And maybe even some of us will be brought to tears. I mean, I think that I could walk away here today, right now, and the fact that we had a new baptism makes the whole day worth it. Right? So, some of you probably know what I have entitled this talk, and it's it may vary and sway and take different routes because that's what I tend to do. But those of you that are on the Facebook page that James Collins runs had a little preview over the last couple of weeks. I've titled it "Give Joy, Not Judgment."
Amen.
And the idea is that we as Christians are not just here to feed ourselves and feed the people that come to church every Sunday. We are here to give joy to the world and give hope to the unsaved and to lead people into church and make it a welcoming place, not be judgmental. That doesn't mean that we accept the sin if there's whatever it is that they're doing, that we accept their sin. But even though this term isn't in the Bible, there are many Bible passages that support this term. It's, you know, hate the sin and love the sinner. And it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Those words aren't biblical, but the meaning absolutely is.
Yeah.
And so we as a church have to find ways to go out into our communities and to invite people into our church, or when they come into our church on our own, that we're inviting to them. It was so nice, and I didn't expect anything different, but it was so nice this morning that when I walked in, my wife and I walked in, that Danny Baxter probably didn't recognize me, but he greeted me, and then a couple of other nice ladies greeted us, and I will tell you, that doesn't happen at every church.
Wow.
You can walk into some churches and you are never even looked at in the eyes. And we're talking large churches.
That's right.
So don't lose that part of Liberty Baptist Church. Always be welcoming. And you know what? Every one of you can do that. You see somebody you don't know, you can just look at them and smile and say, welcome. It's easy. We can all do that. If you can't talk, just smile. So we're going to start, I'm going to be kind of bouncing around the Bible, but our main verse is going to be Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And you have to excuse me. I used to laugh at the preacher because he would do this, right, or this to read. Well, I'm 50, and now I have to do that. Either wear bifocals, or I have to take my glasses off. And quite honestly, it's just easier to push them up here and read. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 7, 1, this is kind of the theme of what we're going to talk about today. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged.
Amen.
And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do you not consider the plank in your own eye?
Amen.
Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye,
help me, Lord,
and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Very commonly quoted part of the Bible. But I don't think a whole lot of thought usually goes into it. So it's kind of the theme of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to make sure we stay on track because I know lunch is important at 12 o'clock. So we're going to. So it leads me into talking that, you know, we are in a broken world. We can look around us and see the things that are going on around the world, right in our own country. We look at decisions that our Supreme Courts are making and legislatures are making and individuals are making, and we see that there's a broken world out here who has not accepted Christ or certainly hasn't put Christ's teachings to everyday life. And so it's our job as a Christian community to go out and try to engage and try to invite and try to open our church doors to that broken world. It means that if you want to come to church in a suit and tie, great. If you want to come to church looking like you're ready for a cruise, great. If you want to come to church in shorts and a t-shirt or the clothes you've wore for the last 3 days, I don't care. Come into the church doors.
Amen.
That's all that matters.
Amen.
Yep. And I have to say that I have two sons. I have one that is a junior at Oklahoma State. Yep, he left Texas to come back to Oklahoma. And I have one that just graduated high school. They're two totally different personalities. I have one that is a math whiz and doesn't have to study and can get straight A's if he applies himself without much study. I have another one who is the art kid who could care less about math or history or any of those things as long as he could do art. And he's the kid that dyes his hair green or blue and it turns green. He's the kid that doesn't care much about hanging out with friends. He'd rather be on the computer, either hanging out with his friends there or going to a geek festival somewhere. And that's okay. It's okay to be different. And I've always kind of been accepting of that, but my son has really, over the last few years, tested those boundaries. And, but you know what? He is still a loving member of our family. He has a heart as big as gold. He will do anything for anybody. But if you were to see him walking, not now because he got a job for the summer, so he had to put his hair back to normal color. But if you saw him walking down the street with his bright blue hair with a beanie on, you may look the other way and think, oh, Lord, you know, he's probably into drugs and drinking. I can tell you, and a parent doesn't always know 100%, but I think I do know 100%. This son has never touched drugs.
Wow.
He has never, until he went to Europe this last spring break, had never had alcohol. We allowed him to have wine in Europe since you can do that at 18. Has never gotten in trouble with the police. has never gotten in trouble at school, other than for being tardy, but you know, for acting out or anything else. But a lot of people would judge him by just looking at him and what he looks like from time to time. Sometimes he looks just totally normal. So he's talked about, okay, well, now I want, maybe I want to get a tattoo or a piercing or something. And so we've had that discussion about how people will judge you and how it makes it harder to get a job and all those kind of things. But you know what? It doesn't change who he is. The outside doesn't reflect always what's on the inside. If it did, everybody in a business suit wearing a tie would be perfect, right?
Amen.
And we know we aren't.
I'm not.
Absolutely. I don't pretend to be. I try to be. I try to be better today than I was yesterday. Try to be better tomorrow than I am today. But that's the best I can do and rely on Christ. So it's okay to be different. If we read 1 John 3:22-24, it says, "And this is his command, to believe in the same Son, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know by the Spirit he gave us."
Yes.
He doesn't say, only love those that are Christians. Only love those that come to church every Sunday. Only
That's
love
right.
those that fit that mold that we talked about earlier. Part of the broken world and part of the judgment that I see, I don't know how many of you are on social media, the internet. Even if you don't interact, you read it. We say things to each other or about other people on the internet and through social media and through email that we would never say if we were sitting across the dinner table from one another. And I have to say, shamefully, that I think Christians are the worst.
Help us, Lord.
I see judgmental Christians sharing things on the internet. It doesn't mean the internet's bad. It just means the way we're using it are bad. Judgmental Christians that are doing things that aren't bringing people closer to Christ, because that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to do things that bring people closer to Christ, not push them away from Christ. And so if you, everything you say, everything that you put out on the internet, everything that you talk about with other people, you filter it through, is what I'm saying bringing people closer to Christ or pushing them away from Christ? I think we would all see a very different world. The question is, are we living life worthy of the gospel? And when we do these things, we have to question ourselves. Are we when we're judging people, are we living life worthy of the gospel? When we make decisions to sin ourselves, are we living a life worthy of the gospel? Yeah, when we don't help our fellow man who needs help, are we living a life worthy of the gospel? So let's go to Philippians 1:27. We're only going to go four places in the Bible today, but I'm going to read a few more than that. So you're welcome to go with me if you want, but I'm going to read it out to you. So, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So I don't see how we can be judgmental or not inviting as a church, and again I'm talking the broader church, without living the life that is consistent with the gospel. There's a time for transformation in our lives and in the church's life. And I think that we probably, I think back from the time here at Liberty, and just to kind of tell you how old I am, I started at Liberty Academy in 1979, and I graduated in 1982. I worked in the cafeteria most of those times. I'd be up at 6 a.m. getting breakfast ready. I'd come to school. I'd go back afterwards and clean up the cafeteria and get ready for the next day. The one and only time in my life I got fired, Brother Matthews fired me. And that was it was a lesson. And he fired me for 2 weeks. It was because I didn't clean the tables to his satisfaction.
And he wanted that right.
And I don't blame him because I was in a hurry. I think I had a basketball game to get to or something, some teenage thing. And he fired me. And so I thought, I guess I better find another job. 2 weeks later, he called me into his office. He wanted to make sure I'd learned my lesson. And he says, okay, get back to work. I spent many, many Saturdays working in the office, doing bulletins, doing whatever Brother Matthews wanted me to do. And I cherish those times. But I think back that long ago, we talked about transformation in the church. We talked about, the end times and the things that were happening. Well, boy, we're even closer to that now. I mean, there's even more things happening now. But transformation is something that we have to commit to. It may be changing ourselves, transforming ourselves, maybe transforming our local church body, but it is absolutely transforming the larger church body. We have such a divide in this country and around the world, but such a divide in this country that it is very hard sometimes to invite non-believers to experience Christ. And so it is important that we don't ignore their sin. We don't not talk about the sin, because what does the Bible say? The wages of sin are death. So we have a responsibility to make sure that we counsel them through that, but we still invite them into our church and to be part of our group. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit because I want to make sure we stay on time. I share a little experience about acceptance and non-acceptance. So when I was going to school here, I lived from California. I went back to California one summer, and I went to, as a matter of fact, this Bible here, it was on my bookshelf. This is the Bible that I had when I was going to school here, and I looked through here, and I have all kinds of notes. I don't know if they still do, but on the Saturday evening services, all the teenagers sat back there in the corner, and there was a lot of us.
Right.
And we would listen to the service, but we'd also write notes back and forth. And I found on the tithe and offering envelopes a lot of those notes. I found a lot of our old bulletins. And I also found another bulletin. This is in the San Francisco Bay Area. You don't think of it as the great Christian epicenter, right? This is Foothill Christian Center. And it reminded me of a time that I went back there in the summertime, coming here from school. They had no idea who I was. They didn't know me. But I was accepted. They didn't know if I was a Christian. They didn't know where I came from, what my background was, and they didn't care. I was accepted into their youth group. I was accepted. We went out to Lake Berryessa for a weekend, and I learned, had a barefoot water ski. And it was just an amazing time that's always stuck with me. But what was the tie-in to what we're talking about today? They were accepting, unconditionally accepting. It did not matter who you were. You were invited to be a part of their group. And I contrast that with when we moved to Texas. I was out of the state for many weeks doing some training with my new job, and my wife took time around with our two small kids, 2 and 4 years old, to visit new churches. One of them was a very large Baptist church in our area, very popular, lots of people, probably had 500-600 people every Sunday for the Sunday service. As she walked in there, not one person said hello. Not one person looked her in the eye. She was lost. She didn't know what to do with the kids, take them to service, take them somewhere else. She sat through the service, and she never went back. And she explained, and she relayed that to me and said, well, that's certainly not an inviting church. It's not one we want to go to. And this was long before I thought about, churches. How should a church be? We should be inviting. So we went to another. She went to several churches and had similar experiences in some of those churches. We went to the church that we ultimately ended up in, and she walks in, and almost immediately there was a person that said, "Hey, welcome. You look like you're new here." And they said, try to say, hey, come over and get some coffee. You have kids. We'll take them down to the children's church. And my four-year-old was very protective of my two-year-old at the time, and he did not want to be separated. So they said, you know what? I think we need a helper in children's church today, so or the nursery today, so you, or you know, whatever they called the two-year-old group. And so why don't you come with your brother today and help out? And then walked my wife to the sanctuary and said, you know, sit here, and introduced her to people, and people were inviting. You tell me, if you're a non-Christian, she was a Christian, thank God. If you were a non-Christian and you walked into those two scenarios, if you walked into church one, would you ever come back to a church? Probably not. So it gets back to our church being open, our church being inviting. Not judging people by what they look like, where they come, do they speak our language. If they want to be in our church, we need to bring them in, make them feel comfortable, and feed them the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere."
Wow.
What is your aroma? When you leave the room at work, is your aroma, wow, that person says they're a Christian, but I'd never go to their church? Or do you hold yourself in a way that people are attracted to you and want to go to your church because, wow, that person has the love of Christ in them? They may not say that, but they have something special about them, and I think I want to know what that special part of them is. You know it's Christ, so you invite them to church. Again, the Bible has many, and I was going to read them because we're out of time. I'll just refer to them. Jude 1:22 through 23 and James 1:27. You can go back and look those up. We're talking about the meaning behind, are we to love the sinner but hate the sin? And my approach is yes, we are to love the sinner. Some people wear their sin on their arms or their sleeves, right? Some people, it's way down deep in their soul, and you may never know. Brother Phil said earlier, he always walks around with a smile on his face. Does that mean he's always happy? Not one person could be that happy. last night he was walking through here singing, and I was like, you know, it takes me back 30 years ago. He was walking around this place singing when there was nobody around. And I remember hearing that, and he'd walk through here singing, and so it's important for us to remember when we look at other people that their hurts may be deep inside, that their goodness may be deep inside. They may be unlikable on the outside, but it doesn't mean they're not worth our time. Yeah. Doesn't mean Christ wouldn't spend time with them. What did Christ say to the guys that were going to stone the adulterer to death? Let he without sin cast the first stone. I don't know about you, but I'm not without sin.
Yeah.
It's only one person in history I ever knew that was without sin.
That's Jesus.
That's Jesus. Yeah. So our job is to bring Christ's joy into the world. Try not to be. Doesn't mean you can't have opinions about things. God knows I'm judgmental about Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all that stuff. But that's a different judgment. And I'm sure it's probably not biblical, some of my thoughts I've had with them, but, you know, we all have those struggles, right?
Save them, Lord.
We all have those struggles. But the one thing we know is those of us that believe will all meet again in heaven. We will have a party that we can't understand, and we will meet all those people that had impacts on our lives. We will meet people that we're shocked to meet because we didn't reach out to them, but somebody else did. And we will also be surprised at the people we don't see. So I would challenge you to not let your fears, your judgments, your prejudice, and I don't say prejudice in a racial way necessarily, but it could be, but we all have prejudice based on our experiences. Don't let those get in your way. So I'm going to wrap up here. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you.
Yes.
So we're going to get into the invitation. I would invite you, even if you are already have accepted Christ and you've been reborn, if you have prayer requests and you want somebody to pray with, Phil will be up here, I will be up here, and we'll be happy to pray with you. If there's something on your mind, somebody you want to pray for, it's always great to pray with somebody else. If you have accepted Christ recently and you haven't been baptized, please come up and talk with Phil. Or me, but Phil will arrange the baptism. And just remember that it's very simple. And when we're talking to non-Christians, we try to make it overly complicated. John 3:16 says everything we need to know.
Yeah.
That all we have to do is believe in Christ, that Christ died for our sins, and that then we are saved. Now, we have other direction, right? We need to, some of the things we need to do and we need to say and how we need to live. And but the difference between going to heaven and not going to heaven is Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins, and we believe that. I would venture to say there may be people here today that haven't made that step.
There you go.
And I know there are a lot of people outside these doors that haven't made that step. So when you leave today, look at people differently. Don't judge them. Don't think that, oh, they'll never come to church. That neighbor that's not very nice, invite them to church. All they can do is say no.
Yes.
Invite them again. All they can do is say no. Maybe 365 times later, they might say yes.
There you go.
It's all about timing. So I'll leave you with this word. The gospel is meant to change the sinner, not for the sinner to change the gospel to fit their sin. Just because I talk about being less judgmental and giving joy instead of judgment doesn't mean we ignore the sin. Doesn't mean we change the gospel. It may mean our approach needs to change. It may mean we need to use other things. Technology, when it works well. It may mean that we need to be out in the community more. One of the great things about Liberty is that you guys have a wonderful outreach programs with the food bank, with just that cafeteria is an incredible blessing. It's been an incredible blessing for, what, 35 years now, roughly, it's been there? And I can't imagine the amount of people that have come through there
yeah.
and have had some positive impact in their spiritual life and in their life. So it's... So I'm going to pray. We're going to play a song as we have the invitation or prayer. We'll be down here for prayer. It doesn't have to be an invitation. It can be a prayer, whatever you need. We're here for you. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask that each of us will take some small part of your word with us today and change the way that we look at our neighbors and our community and each other this coming week. We don't want to leave these doors today and leave everything behind. We want to take it with us, learn something new, apply it, and make a difference in our world. It's in Jesus' name I call for blessings on all of you, and I thank you for being here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to have a song. It's a song of invitation. If you need to come and have prayer, someone pray with you, if you need to come and say, I've been in church all of my life, but I've never really accepted Jesus. I've just been there. I thought it was enough to just be there. It's not enough. And you stand before Him, He's going to either say, I know you or I don't know you. And that will be the bottom line. Do you know Him? It's not just enough to be in His place and a place where people speak His name all the time. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the first step that you must take. Then He was talking about bringing joy and not judgment. Whenever David sinned so greatly, the joy went out of him. What has taken your joy away? Think about it for a few seconds. Has something taken your joy away? Because as a child of God, we have no excuse not to have joy. At all times and in every place. To know that God is ever with us, that God hovers over us, that God broods us and puts a hedge around us, that God forgives our sins. That's a marvelous thing. So whenever he had sinned and he had that great sin in his life, what did he do? He cried out to God. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. So we're going to have a song. If you need to get up while the song is going on and come and have prayer, that's fine. And if not, then after the song, there's two things that are left. So let's go ahead and start that song. And I'm here. Dave's here. If you need to come and have prayer, I have other people that will step forward and have prayer with you. Go ahead and start. Seated. There's going to be a very short video and then we're going to be dismissed in prayer. It's something that I think that you might find very interesting. Go ahead and start that if you can.
It's been a great day at church. And the blessings of the Lord have been plentiful. Now go and love people with the love of Jesus.
Bow with me in prayer. Father God, we want to thank you for this day and for the things that we've heard and the thoughts that we've had. We want to thank you today for the joy that we've been able to share, for the tears that might come to our eyes in this day when we think about, who am I? What am I here for? What is the church all about? It's a place where sinners need to be. A place where occasionally we do more than our share of sinning too. But we come into Jesus and we give ourselves back into His love and His care and to His great plan. Father, watch over us as we leave here. There's going to be somebody that's addicted that needs to have Jesus shared with them. There may be somebody who's sold nightly that needs to have hope. There may be somebody who's just thirsty. There may be somebody who has some great problems that we just didn't see them. Thank you for seeing us, for loving us too much, and help us to allow your love to flow through us into this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave, I need for you and your wife to go back to the back and stand as the people are leaving so they can shake your hand for the things that you've shared with us today.